What's up, everybody? We are back again after our week hiatus thanks to Thanksgiving and me having my second MMA fight. But we are back again. Myself, Nikolai Gianti, alongside, as usual, Chris Manning. Chris, how you been? How was the little bit of break that we got? And
Doing good. Kicking up my ran a 5K over break, which I know Nikolai probably like finds disgusting because I know he hates running. It was almost all uphill, but my challenge to him is that I'm gonna make him run one in the next year. That's my goal. I haven't seen him in a while. Maybe the next time I see him, if he can't drink, we're gonna run.
Yeah. We'll have to figure out something like that. I try to find my cardio different ways other than running. But hey, more power to you.
Well, here's the thing though. I was running, and I'm not like particularly. I'm smaller than last time he saw me. But I ran it. I got it done in about 32, which is 3 minutes better than I did the time before, and it's still slow. But there was this kid who I think like went to like one of the local colleges near Cleveland. I think Mount Union was the gear he had on, and he ran. He did it twice in the time that I like. Yeah, like I was running, and I was running with my uncle, and he's like a marathon runner. He was like 2-3 minutes ahead of me. He's older, just like jogging, like sprinting for a little bit. But this kid runs up the gate, and it's straight up the hill, and he comes back, and he finishes, and then he like runs it again, like ran back to the start, like to the near the starting point, and like probably ran like the mile, like the half mile between the starting point and the end point on the streets of Cleveland. Like it was crazy. Like he just like balls out. It's like 20 degrees outside. Everyone else is just like drinking the free beer you get when you finish.
Man,
eating some pretzels, like it was nuts. I can't do that, but yeah.
Maybe I should have done that, but
no, dude. I don't know if you would. Would you want to sprint like 6 miles?
I don't want to sprint any miles.
Exactly.
But obviously, I think we can use. There's some big news that came into the UFC this week. We can sort of use my fight as a basis, as a good starting point. I did win, so I'm officially 2-0 now. Unanimous decision, 30-27, 29-28 by 2. Chris, I can explain it, but what do you really want to know about it?
Well, you know, I have two thoughts about this. One, I read this quote from former UFC lightweight champ Forrest Griffin that basically said, it's going to make the runaround for fighters easier. It gets you, like, more direct money. You can, like, spend more time focusing on, you know, your training camp with it. But then I also have big problems with it. One, if you're a low-level guy, you're going to make – I can't really see how you're going to make any real money off this because you get money from people buying your kits. But who's going to buy, like, you know, Chico Camus's kit? Like, who's going to buy, you know, like, Alex Caceres's kit? Who's going to buy Anthony Hamilton's kit? Like, who's going to buy – even, like, a guy like Trevor – like, who's going to buy a truck? Who besides, like, hardcore Travis Brown fans are going to, you know, opponents like, $50 to buy Travis Brown's fight shorts? That's just not going to happen. And it's also not, like, NFL gear where you're going to, you know, get, like, a jersey or something. Like, it doesn't exist. So I don't really see the allure of that. The second of all is if it's really going to be decided by, like, how much you make from this in terms of the rankings, I don't know exactly how you can have media vote on that. To be honest, like, I don't think rankings are really like a functional idea unless you're going to use them internally from the UFC and they create them themselves and they create the order. But then you have other problems, like, creates its own set of problems. And also, if you know this as well, now if you go look at the list of media that's on the rankings, I guarantee you a lot of them are not, you know, the group of media you would really trust. I mean, for me, I have a list of MMA guys that I think, like, I trust to report. Helwani, Luke Thomas, Ramondi, Chief Pettis, if he was still at Fox Sports. Folks, Dan Stubb, John Morgan, like, there's, like, a Jeremy Botter. There's, you know, maybe 15 guys, 20 guys somewhere in there. But outside of that, like, you're getting very fringe guys covering, and they're going to be voting and deciding the income. I just think there's a lot of problems here that we don't really know how they're going to be addressed. And it's also tricky. And, again, like, you got – and the UFC also has guys that have deals with other companies. You know, like, how is this going to hurt? Like, Luke Rockhold just signed a deal with Adidas. What does Adidas gain from –
Well, you know, Reebok is owned by Adidas, so.
Okay, well, okay, let's take a look at this for example. John Jones was sponsored by Nike. He lost his Nike. Nike cuts him. And, like, for John Jones, that was, like, a career goal for him. And he didn't seem, like, too hard about it when he talked about it, but that was, like, a goal for him to be a Nike Omega. He had a shoe. He had a Bones Nose shirt. Like, I just don't see how this really, really gets it. Like, to me, I think there's a lot of questions they didn't really answer that presser in explaining it, so I'm not really convinced that this is, like, this huge, you know, great thing for fighters. I'm just not convinced of it yet.
And I think the first off, if you want my viewpoint from a fighting point of view,
if if the UFC signed you and you had their say, by the way, you have to, you know, wear Reebok stuff. Like, how do you feel about that?
I think you hit a lot in the nails on the head. I myself as an amateur, I don't get paid to fight yet. I get tickets, and guess how I make my money? Sponsors. Dave's Cosmic Subs throws their logo on my junk. Huh. There's $125. Hooli House is on my back. Places that I know, places that I'm close with, places that I trust that are willing to front that money because they're willing to help someone out like that. That's where you're going to get hurt is where you pointed out, low-level guys. And it's going to be hard to continue a relationship that you start at the beginning because they know if you're good enough and they see potential in you and you go to the UFC, then why... Why? So I think it's going to hurt a lot of careers to start with. You're not going to get guys that are, you know, maybe 6-0 and fighting an RFA, you know, getting sponsored by Hayabusa because they know if they're talented enough to make the UFC, well, that sponsorship's gone. Why should I get my logo on him for 3 times when he's fighting on Axis TV when I know in a year from now, or hell, 3 months from now, he's not going to be there anymore? That's going to hurt companies. That's going to hurt the companies. That's going to hurt the fighters, too, because that's where a lot of the income is, especially when you're lower level. I mean, there's a reason why Condom Depot, Dynamic Fastener, you know, Buy My Autograph, there's reasons places like that are on people's shorts because it's hard to find sponsors, and it's hard to find honest sponsors. So...
Yeah.
The big issue is, and I don't, first off, I hate the way that it's done by rankings. Because if you're willing to tell me that, you know, Alistair Overeem, who's probably, I don't know off the top of my head, but 8 or 9 at heavyweight. And Betch Kohea, who's 8 or 9 at heavyweight, or at women's bantamweight. If you're willing to say that on the open market, a sponsor would throw them the exact same money, you're delusional. And I understand this. I'm a flyweight, technically a bantamweight, but I'm going to flyweight. I know no one wants to see us fight. There's a reason we're on Fox all the time. There's a reason we're the undercard. There's a reason Joseph Benavidez doesn't headline or doesn't co-main event a card for these fights, because people don't care about them as much as it sucks, and as much as I think the normal MMA fan, you know, the one that understands what's going on,
the hardcore
would disagree with that. But for the guy in the bar, it's not appealing. So to do it by rankings is foolish. Heavyweight's always going to be a big draw. Everyone loves the lightweights because it's just big enough for knockouts, as they view it. You know, Hendricks, 170, that's always going to be huge. Jones, you know, if you're telling me that Rumble is going to be paid the same as John Lineker, you're insane. You're insane. And the other issue with these fight kits, as they so call them, it's not even the fact that who's going to buy the, you know, Ali Bagatinov fight kit. You know, it's not even that. It's... how are you going to sell these to anyone that's not fighting or in some sort of extreme sport? You're not going to sell compression shorts that are modeled after what Chad Mendes wears in the ring to your everyday Joe. It's the reason why football jerseys and baseball jerseys and basketball jerseys and all that make tons of money, because they're functional. No matter how douchey you look in them, they're functional. And the reason no one's going to wear an MMA short. You can, if you fight, I'll buy a pair of Hayabusa shorts because I like them and I think they look good. But guess what? They're for my sport. And I only have a few pairs. I'm not going to seek out, you know, trying to buy some guy's shorts. And it's going to be tough to create this individuality. The only faith I have in the UFC right now, they have to know something that we don't. And whether it's that because I have trouble believing as much as I think they do want to be a monopoly in all this. I have trouble believing that the UFC, with all the complaints that they've heard and all the voices that have been there, especially with Scott Coker, who is an infinitely smarter MMA mind than Bjorn Rebney ever was, I have trouble believing that they didn't look at this and realize that ultimately it can be better. And hopefully I'm right with that, but right now it's a hard sell and you're going to have to convince me. I think the little guy, I think the lower levels could be okay because they don't make a ton of money right now. I think they could get their sponsor dollars enough. I think that, well, listen, the top five guys are going to be fine. They're not going to be hurt. I think where it comes down to, and it was pointed out perfectly by Tommy Masano, if you saw his little link he put with Middle Easy where they had a round table, it's going to be guys like it's going to be guys like Tim Boach that get screwed. A good, serviceable guy who probably made decent money off sponsors that all of a sudden, who wants it? No one's going to get a Tim Boach, you know, t-shirt unless you're from where Tim Boach is from or you're his family. That's like, all there is to
Tim Boach, like, is Tim Boach's whole family just going to, like, bulk order t-shirts?
So, it'll be the equivalent of Sean Payton buying all those Devin Still jerseys. It'll be the equivalent of that.
This is it's tricky. Like, you can like think of guys that are gonna make tons. Like, I think this is like the guy. I think you're right. It's like the top. There's gonna be like three. I think it's gonna be about 15 guys that I can think of that are gonna be like Jones,
Kane,
Conor McGregor.
Yep.
Weidman probably will do Rousey. Like, it's the champs. It's like the top contenders. It's like the guys who still. I think this is gonna be really. I just think this is so. This is flawed. Like, it's just a very, and I, there's just more we need to know. The best column I've read on it, by the way, Ben Folks wrote a really, really eloquent column about this, considering all the problems. I would recommend reading that. It just makes a lot of sense to me.
And let me
say, and like it's just such a tricky thing at this point. What do you do? It's just a money thing. If it's taking money out of fighters' pockets, I have a problem.
There's one thing I want to point out, though, and we're kind of running down the guys that'll be fine. As much as Nate Diaz wants to bitch about this, he's going to be fine. Nate Diaz.
Wait, I don't know, though.
I think
like, Nate doesn't move the needle as much as Nick.
I don't see the UFC, you know, it depends. Let me clarify that. It depends. If Rafael Dos Anjos beats him, and all of a sudden Nate Diaz is this guy that, you know, beat Gray Maynard but got knocked out by Josh Thompson. And that Gray Maynard win does not look as good as it once did, no matter how good he looked. But if that's, you know, where we're at, then I think he gets hurt. But he's really dug himself into a hole, too. You know, as much as we know that they don't toe the company line, the Diaz, at least Nate, kind of does need to toe the company line. You know, he renegotiated his contract, got a title fight, renegotiates his contract again, gets this Dos Anjos fight. And then if something goes wrong where he loses to Dos Anjos, but I don't think he's dug himself in a hole with this, especially with now that there's the sponsorship deal. You know, he can't rely on things like that. So he is, I think he could be a guy that makes some money if he wins, because he's this, you know, middle finger giving, crap talking, you know, Stockton bad boy that people love. Or if he loses, he could screw himself royally.
Yeah, one other thing I'll say is, like, I think it just kind of looked really weird to me. Like part the fun,
yeah,
like standard, you know, it's gonna be, you know, they're probably all gonna come out and like Reebok, like some guys will have like a shirt that'll have their name on it, but like, why would Reebok spend money on a guy who steps in on 2 weeks' notice? He's gonna be wearing shorts he's probably not comfortable with, it. Like a product he probably might not have used, and like a generic Reebok dry fit as he walks out to the cage. Like, to me, I don't It just seems kind of weird. Like the fight game to me is just kind of like the fight game is just unique because it is like an individual each person's like a mercenary and like they're like they sign contracts, yeah, but it's like individual. It's like for themselves. Like it's not like these guys are like getting in the cage together and fighting like as a team. Like
they tried that once, like it didn't work. IFL.
It's just a very weird concept that of the uniform in general. Like I don't know if I exactly like him totally. If I guess I'd rather have it if like fighters can opt in or not. Like I can, if they wanted to say, you know what, I don't want to deal with the headaches of chasing on sponsors in camp, that's fine. But also could see like a guy like Shogun who's had like a long term deal with Bad Boys. He's worked with Bad Boys since he was, you know, in Pride. Like if he wants to not opt into the Reebok deal and then work with Bad Boy and work with the guys he worked with before, that's fine. Or like be able to supplement his like do like a, not a full in thing with Reebok, but do something where they get a little more fluidity in their choice and give them the right to kind of pick and choose.
And that's
so I think that'd be the most fair. That's probably the most fair thing, but it's also not realistic considering why we know UFC feels kind of about kind of their fighter doing other things.
And that's the big thing, you know. This takes away from the individuality. I mean, we all remember Chuck Liddell's shorts. You know, we remember Sakuraba and his crazy orange shorts.
Shogun. Shogun's iconic.
Yeah.
Part of Shogun's iconic look is the white Bad Boy shorts.
Exactly.
Anderson Silva's thing is like he'd probably get these for Reebok, but like
the Bumblebee.
The Bumblebee. I'm trying to think what other
Tito Ortiz with the Flames, even
right, and that was Steel Punishment. Those iconic things, really. You know, like certain guys have had those just so much over time that you know Dimitri Johnson has his black Xbox, like Microsoft Xbox,
yeah,
like tights. Also, what does this do to have guys like Uriah Faber that have like built their own company?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. It's just so goofy to me.
We need more details, I think, before ultimately we can sort of decide how it is. But right now, it doesn't.
Do we ever get those? Do we ever like actually get those details?
No. But let's move on to something that actually excites us. We have some fights this weekend, and we do have one of those guys, Uriah Faber, fighting on the card. Chris, I think we need to pick one fight past prelim. Obviously the Fox Sports 1 headliner, and let's go with this main card too.
Yeah, I think the obvious prelim is Sergio Pettis and Matt Hobart.
Yes, of course. What's your thought on it, Chris?
I think, you know, Matt Hobart, this is a good test for Sergio Pettis. Matt Hobart is an interesting prospect. You know, not exactly... But, you know, not exactly like a world beater by any means. But, you know, he's a solid guy. A good test, you know, here for Sergio Pettis. But I think Pettis gets it done. I think, you know, I'm going to just give it to my head, but I think the Pettis probably to go 2-for-2. You know, with his event, I think Pettis probably gets it done, a unanimous decision. But I just think he's still a guy you got to watch it in that division and kind of see where it's going.
Yeah, you know, I'm also going to pick Pettis. I just think... you know, I think he learned a lot from the Caceres fight, especially. You know, that was a tough fight for him. And, you know, he suffered his first loss. I think he kind of learned some things he did. And I think we saw something that we weren't expecting, which was a little bit of a questionable gas tank from him. I think he gets it done. I think he's probably more comfortable at 135, even though he is a smaller 35er. I think, you know, he's only 20 years old. Obviously, that weight cut was going to eventually become an issue for him. So I think this is going to be, you know, I think this might be the best we've seen Pettis sort of look in there. You know, I think we've seen in his last few fights, even when he's won, he's sort of been in a trouble spot at one point. I think this is the time where, you know, Hobart, it's a nice name. He's got a UFC win. I think this is one where Pettis could sort of say, hey, look, guys, I'm here. And I'm still the same prospect that you thought I was.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Uriah Faber, Francisco Rivera. Before we pick this funny story, when I was down in Texas, actually met Francisco Rivera's strength and conditioning coach. and he was extremely excited. So,
of course he was.
As much as I would love to say, you know, Marcus Martinez, I'm picking your boy Rivera. I mean, it's Uriah Faber in a non-title fight. That's all you need to say. Uriah Faber is undefeated in non-title fights. The guy is a monster.
Just a reminder of Uriah Faber's career losses. When he's at 155, he lost to Tyson Griffin in a very, very competitive fight.
Met him in Texas, too.
2005 Tyson Griffin.
Yeah.
Lost to, you know, Mike Brown.
Twice, and one was with a broken hand where he couldn't. Two broken hands where he couldn't finish the choke.
And I probably could. You could, like, argue. I really do think you could argue that he won that second fight. Really think you could.
Aldo twice. Brow twice.
Aldo once, sorry. Then Cruz in a relatively close fight, and then, yeah, Brow twice. He's Ryan Faber, like, damn near, you know, top three in that division. You know, look what he did to Michael McDonald. Like,
yeah.
Look what he did to Jorgensen. Look what he did to Bowles. Like, that was like Brian Bowles. Like, this really shouldn't be too much of an issue for Faber. I think round one, round two, rear naked choke guillotine. Unless he really just has fallen off a cliff, this is his fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just can't see him losing. Also, on a side note, I just got an email from Bellator's PR. We got Eduardo Dantas against Mike Richmond. That's an interesting fight. Alright, move on. I just saw that pop up. But, yeah, Uriah Faber, non-title fight. Seven losses are to, you know, just beasts. And I would argue two, if not three, are questionable. You can argue the Mike Brown fight, you can argue the Cruz fight, and that early stoppage in the Brow fight, although I think Brow probably would have ended up winning it. Still, it was an early stoppage. So there's three fights. I mean, it's your eye favor. That's all we got.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We got Tony Ferguson, Abel Trujillo. Trujillo's got power. That's obvious. He's got solid wrestling, but Ferguson, you know, his wrestling defense looked very good in the Danny Castillo fight. He's got some good power in his hands, and, you know, we've seen Trujillo clipped before. You know, realistically, if he doesn't have this freak thing happen and just floor Jamie Varner, you know, he loses that fight. I got to go with Tony Ferguson here. Unless Trujillo's wrestling is that good where he's able to just plant him on the ground for three rounds.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I do think he's just rangier, too, and I think he should be able to keep him at bay, and I think he's just also been, somehow does go to the ground. I think he's craftier off his back and just on the ground in general than Trujillo. I don't think this is Ferguson's fight. I think this kind of makes him a guy, like, he's gotten to me on, like, the mild jury path where he's just going to, like, go on a really nice run in this division, get someone big, and then really find out what his peak is like at 155.
Yeah, you know, I would have to agree with that. Let's move on. Next fight, we have Todd Duffy. The return of Todd Duffy going up against Anthony Hamilton. Chris, I'll let you take this one first.
Duffy, KO for first round. I just think he's physically more imposing, just an overall better fighter. I think really first round overhand right late in the round, it's going to be a pretty clean KO for Todd Duffy.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. You know, Anthony Hamilton, he's been knocked out before. He doesn't really have a skill set that can match Duffy's, and I think Duffy's just such an explosive athlete, which is where the trouble's going to come in. Let's move on, though. We got Travis Brown, Brendan Schaub. Listen, Brendan Schaub, he's certainly improved in his time in the UFC. Travis Brown's coming off a tough loss again. That's arguably the first fight where he was truly beaten. You know, he tore his knee in the Bigfoot fight, but this Verdum fight, Travis Brown was just beat down, and I think there's a lot of things that he sort of looked at and is going to look at now and realize what he did wrong. What makes me, you know, confused, I guess, is the fact that he is training at the camp of Brendan Schaub's girlfriend.
No, ex-girlfriend.
Ex-girlfriend. Well,
pretty sure they broke up.
They were dating long enough for some secrets to get out. But
oh yeah, that's super. That's really awkward.
Yeah, but I think Travis Brown is overall the better fighter. I think he's got more power in his hands. And I just think, you know, he can chop him down with some kicks and some. He's going to be the rangier fighter. I think he's going to use it, and I think his takedown defense is going to be good enough to stuff Brandon Schaub.
Yeah, I agree. I think Brown should KO him in round two, unless Schaub can kind of, you know, slip and rip a little bit and get on top a little bit. I think Brown is just rangier, more powerful, and is just clearly like a very good heavyweight, even if he's not quite on the Verdum, Velasquez, the Dos Anjos level. Like, he to me is like on that Stipe level, and I think he kind of where you have to put him, like right outside, maybe right outside borderline top three or four, but just is maybe just missing one or two little things right now where you can't really like how he would do against any, you know, the division's truly, truly elite.
I agree. Let's move on. We got Anthony Pettis, Gilbert Melendez. Gilbert Melendez earned this title shot by almost jumping to Bellator. I mean, that's really the case of it. But Pettis is coming off...
I mean, he probably deserved it either way.
But Pettis is coming off the knee injury. They both just coached tough. I just don't think Melendez... I think Pettis can stuff the takedowns, and I think his striking is just as well as Melendez can strike, and we saw him strike with Benson. Pettis is at a whole nother level, and I don't think many guys can match his striking level. We saw a guy who is a kickboxer and cowboy just get floored by him. So Pettis has otherworldly striking. I think he's going to use it. I don't know if he finishes it, but I just think he's going to be able to either just pick apart Melendez, or he'll finish him, you know, within the first three, I think.
I think Pettis wins a clear, you know, like a 48-47 decision or 49, you know, something like that, 46. I think he just doesn't, I don't think, I'm looking at Melendez's record. The only guys that I know of, and he could have maybe fought someone early in his career when he's fighting in Japan and stuff that kick, so I could be wrong about this, but the only guys that he's fought recently that have thrown kicks are Josh Thompson and Benson, and those are two very different kickers than Anthony Pettis. He's quicker with him. He's more dynamic with him. He's got a wider array of them. They're very powerful. You know, I see Anthony Pettis controlling the distance. I'm not really worried about his knee. You know, Tough probably helped him recover, get some work back under him. I trust his training. As long as he isn't super rusty, he should be fine. I also don't think Gil has a good wrestling, but I don't think it's, you know, super... Like, I'd have to look up at the stats for him in his wrestling, but I don't think Gil's wrestling is something that you can just, you know... It's not like if Pettis is fighting Khabib, or, he's just not that... Like, his offensive wrestling also isn't something he's used in a while, and I think his offensive attack is still predicated on the boxing. I think he gets picked apart by Pettis' decision, wins maybe the first round, and then Pettis kind of cruises from there.
I agree. Let's get to the final fight of the night. Johnny Hendricks, Robbie Lawler. You know, Robbie Lawler's looked outstanding. Hendricks, another champ coming off an injury. And, you know, he tore his bicep in the first fight. I think we did see it kind of affect him in a way. I think he was able to win. And I think the wrestling now is something that can make a huge difference. I don't think he's going to knock out Robbie Lawler, but I think we're going to get a little bit more of a decisive victory from Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close again. I really do. But I think you know, he's still going to improve. And by that, I mean Hendricks. And I don't think there's really a lot that he does that John can handle. As long as his bicep is healthy and he, you know, his weight's on point and he's not rusty, I think he gets it done. Like, I don't see how, you know, Lawler really provides anything against... besides his power, I don't think he's going to take Hendricks down, which I think is, like, a way you could really beat him, and I don't think he can, as quicker than him, so I think this is Hendricks' fight. I think it's a decision. I think it's almost as exciting as the last one, but I think it's a little clearer because Hendricks is going to be healthy, but it really comes down to me, it comes down to how rusty he is, because I'm more worried about ring rust for Hendricks than for Pettis for some reason. I think it might just be because Hendricks' weight cut's normally kind of big.
He is walking around lighter this camp, though.
Well, I mean, we'll see, though. I mean, maybe that's irrational, but that's just kind of what my gut tells me. I've thought about this for like about an hour before we started recording, and I'm definitely more worried about Hendricks' rust than I would be Pettis'. But I'm not really sure if that's fair.
All right. That wraps up the show for this week. As usual, check me out on Twitter, @Nikolai_Gianti. 2-0! Very excited. Before we go, I got to thank everyone. So I'm going to do that with shameless plugs. So, Hoolyhouse and Menner, thank you. North Coast Body Mod, they gave me some awesome ink. Fitness First Supplements, thank you. And, of course, Dave's Cosmic Subs, you sponsored my sub. So, thank you guys. Check me out on Twitter @Nikolai_Gianti. Check Chris out on Twitter @CWMWrites. He writes for FearTheSword.com. He writes for Backdrop Magazine @OU. And I believe he does some speakeasy work or some freelancing work. Chris?
Yeah, speakeasy, not my game anymore. But I'm actually writing a piece, some MMA stuff. I'll be writing some MMA stuff for the Classical in addition to some other sports. But begin some MMA clips in.
All right, good deal. We'll be back next week. Check out the fights this week, and we are out of here.